Okay, folks, let's hit the reset button. And for those joining us on our webcast, we want to welcome you once again, John Heffernan, here at the 2025 MicroCap Rodeo. I am a New York City announcer, and I'm thrilled to be here today. It's been a lot of fun so far, and we are rolling through the agenda. And up next, for the next 30 minutes or so, all the way from Toronto, Canada, the chief executive of Medexus Pharmaceuticals, I give you Mr. Ken D'Entremont, and I consider myself a Canadian. Ken D'Entremont, come on up here, Kenny.
First of all, I want to thank the organizers for the opportunity to present Medexus Pharmaceuticals here to you today. Medexus is a pharma company, obviously. What we're trying to do, our purpose, is to improve lives and literally save lives of patients with some really serious diseases. So that is our purpose. Our business is pharmaceuticals. You can find the forward-looking statements at medexus.com. along with lots of other information. So in a nutshell, this is Medexus. So we're a company that has commercial operations in both the U.S. and Canada, completely built out. We have 15 different products that are already in the market. We produce over $100 million of revenue. That produces about $20 million of positive EBITDA. And we have a product called Treosulfan, which is a pretty major catalyst that was recently approved by the FDA, and we have now begun to commercialize that in the U.S. So a really strong catalyst that we think will drive our revenue growth into the future. We've got a really strong annual growth rate over the 5 to 7 years that we've been tracking. It's looking really positive, and we would expect that Treosulfan will be the driver of that growth into the future. Management and board owns about 10% of the company, so well aligned with the shareholders. So this is the portfolio that we have in the two territories, U.S. and Canada. We're focused in three different therapeutic areas: hematology, oncology, where the new growth driver is just being launched, also in allergy and dermatology, and then finally autoimmune disease or rheumatology. So we have products in each of those therapeutic areas, and we're working to add additional pipeline products to those areas to drive future growth. The business model is really quite simple. What we are doing is licensing and acquiring pharmaceutical drugs that other companies have developed, getting them registered in the U.S. and Canada, and then driving them to peak sales. So obviously, organic growth is really important in our story. And we've got commercial teams already set up in the two territories that have had really good success in launching drugs into those marketplaces. So we've got a history of successfully commercializing products in the U.S. and Canada. The way we acquire our products is through business development. So as I said, we're not an R&D company, so there's no development risk here. What we're doing is licensing and acquiring drugs that others have developed, getting them registered, and then driving to peak sales. So there's no risk in R&D. It's really only the commercial risk. We do a little bit of product development. So sometimes our products need additional indications, like a pediatric indication. We will do that work, but it's very low risk with good reward because it expands and opens additional markets for our product. So that's in a nutshell what the business does. So very simple business model. Our products may be complex because we work in orphan drug, rare disease spaces, but the business model is very, very straightforward. So this is what we've built. We've got commercial teams and infrastructure built out in both the U.S. and Canada. About 70% of our revenue currently comes from the U.S. That number will grow as we launch the new product, Treosulfan, because, you know, the opportunity for that drug is primarily in the U.S. We are very, very focused in those three therapeutic areas. So we're not trying to address the entire market. We've got commercial teams focused on a few therapeutic areas, and that's where we spend our time and effort. So that's where we look to be successful. The real catalyst in our business is this product here. It's called Grafapex. Treosulfan is the generic name. Grafapex is a really innovative product. It's the first new development in stem cell transplantation conditioning in decades. And so this is a really exciting opportunity because it is significantly better than the product it's replacing. So the FDA approved this drug in January of this year. We launched it in February, and now we're starting to drive the commercial uptake. The early commercialization success has been quite good. We see good uptake of the drug in the core hospitals that treat these patients. We are seeing reimbursement happening from the commercial payers and from the institutions. And so at this point in time, we see really good uptake in the early going of this drug, which is what we expected. This drug has been already launched throughout much of the rest of the world. It was the U.S. and Canada who were a bit of a laggards in this particular therapeutic area. So we are using the experience that has been gleaned from treating these patients in other markets and bringing that to Canada and now the U.S. And so we believe that we've got a really strong opportunity here because as we do our forecasting and our outlook, we see this as a better than $100 million drug in the U.S. And then obviously that more than doubles our current revenue, and it does so at a better gross margin. So we see this as a really, really important opportunity for the company. The drug itself is an orphan drug indication, so it has 7 years of exclusivity as a result of being orphan drug designated. One of the reasons why we see this as a better than $100 million opportunity in the U.S. is because we already have 3 years of experience with this drug in Canada. We launched this drug, and you can see the sort of uptake that it's had in recent years. And I'll point out that this is prior to the drug getting reimbursed in Canada. We've just announced a few months ago that we've now getting full reimbursement in Canada. And so we would expect that this sales curve would actually start to accelerate. And so that bodes really well for the U.S. because we know the clinicians, the transplanters, the people who treat these patients really want to use this drug because clinically it's superior to the drug they used to use. The outcomes are just better. And I'm going to show you some of that data. The chart on the right, the bar chart there, you can see that already in Canada, we've got almost a 60% market share in pediatrics. And that's really important because our drug is basically safer than the drug it's replacing. This drug is used for the conditioning of bone marrow prior to a stem cell transplantation. The drug they used to use is quite toxic. And so this would cause significant side effects in people who are already pretty ill. You know, they've got leukemia, AML, and MDS, really serious disease. They want to do these transplants on these patients because a stem cell transplant is a potential cure. So you could cure a disease that usually is fatal for the patient. 5-year mortality for AML is virtually 100%. So this is a way to actually cure those patients. There are about 10,000 of these transplants being done in the U.S. per year, and it's growing at a linear rate. It's been growing for the last 20 years because the outcomes are so good. And so we see our drug as a really, really innovative addition to what they're doing for these patients. The other reason that we feel really strongly about the potential of this drug is this study right here. This is a study that we conducted at the Princess Margaret Hospital in Toronto. It's one of the largest transplant centers in North America. And they basically compared our drug to the drug they used to use, which is the drug we're replacing in the U.S. as well. And they showed a 56% reduction in all-cause mortality. So a 56% reduction is a massive improvement in the outcome for these patients. So this is a real-world, real-life example of what the drug does in the marketplace. So again, gives us a high degree of confidence that this drug will be successful. So that's Grafapex. That's the catalyst that will drive our growth. But remember, we already have $100 million of revenue that's producing positive EBITDA today. The lead product that we have is called IXINITY. This is a drug that was developed in the U.S. It's manufactured in the U.S. It's for hemophilia B, which is another rare orphan drug indication. There's only 4,000 to 5,000 patients in all of the U.S. who have this disease. Basically, what our drug does is replace the component of the blood that's missing for these patients. Without our drug, they bleed, they can't clot. It's a really serious disease. With our drug, they have basically a normal life. And so it's a really important innovation. We do about $30 million on this drug. It's a biologic. It's very unlikely to attract biosimilar competition because it's so expensive to develop these types of drugs. So we would expect that this drug would have a very, very long tail. The other drug that we have that's significant for us is called Rupall. This is Canada only. It's an allergy medication that significantly improves the outcome for these patients in managing their seasonal allergies. We're in the spring season now, which is the peak of seasonal allergies. Anybody in the room that has experienced this knows that, you know, you're constantly looking for relief and that allergies are doing nothing but going up. And so this drug has performed really, really well over the years that we have had it. It is now plateaued. It's being genericized, and we would expect it to start to slowly come down. We've got a strong anti-generic program in place that will protect the market share that we have in Canada. And then finally, Rasuvo is the next largest drug that we have. Rasuvo, Metoject in Canada, are products that we've developed a really strong market share. Again, it's a mature drug, but this demonstrates the type of commercial expertise that we have. We have almost an 80% market share for Rasuvo in the U.S., so really strong commercial execution, which again gives us confidence that our team will be capable to launch Grafapex. Finally, we have a product called Nida, which is a nice growth opportunity. It's one of our smaller products. Remember, we have approximately 15 different products in the market, but this is a potential growth driver due to some regulatory changes for prescribing of these types of medications. So we would expect this to strongly increase as well. Business development is really important in our story because that's how we source our products. These are two examples where we've spent our capital really wisely. We've purchased two drugs for less than one-time revenue. So clearly, you know, we've priced them very, very well. And we've put the economics for the partner in line with our success growing the drug. So more of their economic is tied to us generating revenue on these drugs than us taking all the risk up front by making a big cash payment. So we've done that quite well, and I think it's a good example of us using our capital wisely. Our financial results are really strong. You can see that, you know, we've had this nice, consistent revenue growth. It plateaued in the last couple of years as we've been waiting for Grafapex to get approved through the FDA. It is now being approved, and we would expect to see that accelerate. Our quarterly results are equally strong. We have been positive EBITDA by quarter for the last 3 years. And so recently we're generally, you know, consistently generating $5 to $6 million of positive EBITDA per quarter. And so we would expect that to come down a little bit as we're launching Grafapex and then accelerate upwards as Grafapex becomes accretive. We've got a really clean cap table. Our capital structure is very clean, about 32 million shares outstanding, 34 million fully diluted. Debt is roughly 1x annual EBITDA. Our EBITDA tracks really close to cash. So we are generating cash. and we've got sufficient cash to operate our business. So no need to raise capital in the near future. So that's really the story. So when you think about Medexus, think about a company that's already built out its infrastructure. It's generating cash, it's generating positive EBITDA off a base of a business that is quite stable. Then you've got this catalyst that could more than double the revenue at a better gross margin. So obviously a really good opportunity for growth into the future. And so that's why this is a good investment at the valuations that we currently have, because you're going to see this strong growth into the future. So I'll stop there and take any questions that the audience might have. Please. So the question is, from whom did we license GRAFAPEX and when did that happen? So the whom is medac, GmbH. So it's a German private pan-European pharma company that developed the drug. We licensed it around the acquisition of Rasuvo. So we also purchased Rasuvo from that same company. And in that agreement, we included a right of first refusal on a whole list of other products in their portfolio. Treosulfan was one of those products. So we licensed it in Canada, I would say 4 years ago, and licensed it in the U.S., I think it was 2021, 2022, and then have been spending that time getting it registered through the FDA.
Historically, you've had very strong organic growth, and the prospects for organic growth are even better now. What about on the acquisition side? How does the pipeline look for targets? I mean, you're generating $20 million of EBITDA, so with the valuations you're paying, it seems like you can tuck in some products pretty easily without diluting shareholders.
Yeah, it's a great question. So the question is, what's the pipeline look like for business development? What's available out there? So clearly, we are actively pursuing additional opportunities. That's how we'll grow the company into the future. We have one asset already in our portfolio, and we're working on that, and it's in the autoimmune rheumatology space. We've got another asset that we're pursuing in the allergy space that we hope will get across the finish line. And then we're very active in the stem cell space. Clearly, we'd like to have additional drugs in hematology, oncology, particularly in stem cell transplant, because that's where we're putting a lot of our effort right now. So I would say the market is quite good. There are many, many developments that are having a lot of difficulty getting funded, as you can imagine. There's been lots of cutbacks in this space. So companies like ours that generate cash, have the financial resources, can raise capital or debt, then I think that puts us in a really good position to acquire or license some of these innovations. So our vision is to take this company to about $500 million in revenue. And that's the stage at which you start to get, multiples that our larger peers enjoy. And so that's what we're trying to do. So clearly business development is a really important part of our story. And it is something that we've done quite successfully in the past.
Bigger companies that are doing that, the larger market caps that have this business model.
Yeah, that's a great question. So it's who else has followed this path? Who else has had this business model? So I think there's two really good examples, Jazz and Horizon, who are further ahead than we are, but have executed this same business plan very successfully. And in one case, obviously Horizon taken out by a big player at a very good valuation, and Jazz has gotten quite large, continuing to go on their own. So I think either one of those paths, is a path for us that we will continue to build the portfolio. Jazz is, yes. So the question is, who else is building portfolio in stem cell? Jazz is. They do have products that are in this space. Sanofi is, one of the bigger pharma companies, French pharma companies, is interested in this space. So there are other players in this space, but it's not overly crowded. And I would say we have one of the better innovations in the space. And so having the innovation, which is GRAFAPEX or Treosulfan, attracts other opportunities. because clearly we've got, you know, a really good platform on which to build. Yeah, so the question is, how do we go about business development in stem cell transplant? And the answer is that both outward and inbound, clearly stem cell transplant is highly concentrated. There's only 180 institutions in all of the U.S. that do these transplants. 70 institutions do 80% of the transplants. These are highly technical and specialized hospitals, the biggest of the big. So clearly those folks are working on other innovations, and we become aware of those innovations because we're working with those clinicians. We also go out and look. You know, clearly we're at all the conventions where, you know, companies might display their innovation and what they're trying to do. So we do both, and, you know, I do believe we will be successful in finding future opportunities. Yeah. Yeah. So the question is, what about stem cell as a whole? Like, where is that market going? We're in a really defined segment of the market. So we're stem cell transplant. And so, you know, stem cell transplantation is really highly monitored. So there's very good data on what's happening. This is an area that's been growing literally for the last 20 years. Year after year, the market has grown because the outcomes are so good. You know, a cure for malignant disease is an excellent outcome. And so clearly, we would expect that this market will continue to grow. That's why we're so interested in it, because the market's strong, the outcomes are good. When you're producing good outcomes, you're able to get them priced properly and reimbursed properly, which is another benefit for us. You know, all the pressure about pricing of late in the U.S., you know, we're in a good segment of the market whereby, you know, we're delivering fantastic outcomes. So clearly those are the types of things that people will reimburse.
What is in your way in the marketplace Is it because clearly you should be trading a lot higher than you are?
Yeah. So the question is, why are we not trading higher than we are, and what is the limitation for that? I think probably part of it, we're TSX traded, so it's a bit of a limitation for U.S. investors. It makes it a little more cumbersome to buy our stock. Healthcare is not a big sector in Canada. We're one of the largest companies in this sector, publicly traded in Canada, so that tells you something. And so, you know, I think just getting our story out there to a broader audience and perhaps getting better access to more investors will get us a proper valuation, because clearly we're at the low end of all of our peers. And, you know, with the proper moves and the opportunities that we have to grow this company, you would expect that we will get a better valuation. Yeah, the question is why the pullback in the stock, which happened, I think, end of January, early February. We raised capital following the triosulfan approval on January 24th. And the following week, after we closed the deal, the following week, all the tariff talks started. So for once, I think we raised capital at the right time. And certainly the market pulled back severely, you know, following. Seems to now be rebounding. But I think that's probably part of the reason. I want to thank you for your attention, and thank you very much for the questions.